From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Iraq's acting prime minister is disputing parliamentary election results that show him losing seats to his challenger, the country's former prime minister. NPR's Quil Lawrence is in Baghdad and says the results were something of a surprise.
This was a neck-and-neck race. No candidate, no coalition won enough seats to form a government on their own. But the surprise was that former Prime Minister Ayad Alawi, a secular Shiite, was able to edge out sitting Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki by just 3 seats. But it's interesting because Alawi has been mostly an absentee parliamentarian. He hasn't even attended that many sessions of the government. And he beat out a sitting Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, who had really expected to win big.
NPR's Quil Lawrence. Results show Alawi's coalition picking up 91 seats in Iraq's March 7th election, compared to al-Maliki's 89 seats. The vote tally marks a serious setback for al-Maliki, but does not guarantee Alawi the prime minister's job, only the right to try to form a coalition government. A telephone call between President Obama and his Russian counterpart, Dmitry Medvedev, this morning helped to seal a sweeping new arms control agreement that will reduce both countries' nuclear arsenals by roughly a third. More from NPR's Scott Horsley.
The phone call nailed down the final details of the arms control deal and cleared the way for the two presidents to sign the agreement early next month. The treaty replaces the 1991 START agreement, which lapsed in December. It calls on both countries to cut their strategic arsenals to just over 1,500 warheads. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who started his career as an Air Force officer on a base bristling with Minuteman missiles, says the new treaty strengthens U.S. security.
The journey we have taken from being one misstep away from mutual assured destruction to the substantial arms reductions of this new agreement is testimony to just how much the world has changed.
The deal still has to be ratified by the Senate. The administration says it expects bipartisan support. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
Signs of increased optimism on the part of consumers. A new Reuters University of Michigan survey on consumer sentiment this month was revised upwards, giving some renewed hope the economy is slowly creeping out of the doldrums. The government also announced its revised fourth quarter economic growth numbers, showing a strong expansion in the fourth quarter of last year. Still, Standard & Poor's economist David Weiss says it's a bit early to be celebrating.
The fact that they're not getting rid of inventory anymore, the fact that the consumer is coming back, all of that's a sign that the economy is gradually coming back to normal. Just don't expect it to happen overnight.
Government reported today the gross domestic product, the measure of all goods and services moving through the U.S. economy, expanded at a 5.6% annual rate in the fourth quarter. Those somewhat lackluster economic numbers were played out on Wall Street today. The Dow was up just 9 points to end the week at 10,850. The Nasdaq lost 2 points. The Standard & Poor's 500 rose a fraction today. This is NPR. A military judge in California today denied a motion to dismiss charges against a Marine sergeant whose squad killed 24 Iraqi men, women, and children after a bomb killed a Marine. Lieutenant Colonel David Jones ruled on a defense request there were unlawful command influences, while the general considered a court-martial for Staff Sergeant Frank Wooderich. Wooderich faces charges in connection with the 2005 attack in the Iraqi town of Haditha. Wooderich is the only remaining defendant in the biggest criminal case to arise involving U.S. Marines since the start of the Iraq War. 6 other Marines have had charges against them dropped or dismissed, while another was acquitted in the case. Basketball star Gilbert Arenas has been sentenced to 2 years probation for bringing guns into the Washington Wizards locker room. As NPR's Ari Shapiro reports, Arenas pleaded guilty last January to felony weapons possession.
Prosecutors agreed to seek no more than 6 months behind bars in exchange for a guilty plea from Arenas, but the judge was free to sentence him to as long as 5 years. At the sentencing hearing, Arenas called his behavior stupid and irresponsible. He said, "I'm very sorry that this all happened." Prosecutors argued that Arenas should serve time. U.S. Attorney Christopher Kavanaugh said, "Take away the wealth, the fame, the power, the defendant deserves incarceration." But Arenas will not serve jail time. On top of the 2 years probation, the judge sentenced Arenas to 30 days in a halfway house, 400 hours of community service, and a $5,000 fine that will go to victims of violent crime. The other player who brought guns into the Wizards' locker room, Javaris Crittenden, was already sentenced to 1 year of probation. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
Crude oil prices fell slightly at week's end. Benchmark crude was down 53 cents a barrel to end the session at $80 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News, in Washington.